Off top, snails have teeth. Thousands of them. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right, welcome to the Dominique Foxworth Show. That man who doesn't look befuddled. I expected him to be uncomfortable with the weirdness, the weird way that I start the show, but he's not. That's Theo Ash. He's one of my favorite people to follow on the socials to learn about football, I guess. Mm-hmm. I feel dumb saying that I'm learning about football from this baby here who just he just clowned me in front of my friends. So before the show started, I was like, hey, Theo, you're young. Tell me something cool. And then Theo went on to introduce me to Theo.
2093 Yeats' latest album.
So I was like, I just did like an uncomfortable laugh. I was like, this making fun of me. He just made up something that doesn't even exist. Then I googled it. Apparently, it's how's it described? Dystopian.
A dystopian sci-fi album.
All right, I'm rap down. Album. I'm downloading the out of that.
Sounds glorious.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that. Anyway, that's not why we have him on here. Not to make us cool and young. We have him on here to talk draft. Charlie, yeah. Take it away.
We got to talk about some cool young quarterbacks. So a lot of this draft, we have to start.
Cool young quarterbacks?
I guess that's true. Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are very, very
old. There we go.
We have to start with the QBs at the top of this draft class because that's what everyone wants to know, how they're tiered, how they're grouped, where they're going to go in the draft. And Theo, I want to know how you group them because you've got Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and J.J. McCarthy. All of them conceivably could go in the first round, but they all fall in different buckets, with Caleb certainly at the top and then people beneath them. How do you sort of delineate those groups?
It's kind of a harsh grading scale, but for me, there's two guys that I'm interested in the first round, and then I don't think the rest profile as high-end franchise quarterbacks. That's my current stance. And the two guys that I think have the tools to be all pro or, you know, take a team deep in the playoffs, whatever you want to designate an elite quarterback as to being, I think Caleb is there and I think May is there. And then I think there is a very, very big drop off. And after that, I don't really care. Like there's some good shots that you can take. Maybe you fall in love with one. Obviously, part of being a football team is you're not always going to get the blue chip quarterback. You got to develop somebody. So these guys could be developed, but in terms of like surefire things that I think can really put a team in a backpack and carry them, I think Caleb and May profile is that. But everybody else, I'm kind of dubious.
All right. Well, Charlie asked you that question already knowing the answer, because this is really what had me excited having you on. Is let's get into this Jaden Daniels conversation, because we've heard
probably gonna go number two in the draft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems that way because we're in Washington. They went and got Marcus Mariota, and it seems that there's a lot of smoke around them wanting Jaden Daniels. But the evaluation of him, I've never seen such a wide breadth of opinions on a quarterback that's this high in the draft before. So some people say he's the best in the draft. Or I guess it's really just Dan Orlovsky's the only person who's saying that. Yeah. He's the best in the draft.
Chris Sims called him a 1B also, said in any other year he'd be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. Right. But he still says Caleb's better, but he's like right up there. And then there's some people who say he's like, I think Nate Tice says he's 19 and out of all the players. And you have the harshest evaluation of Jaden Daniels. So I'm not going to pretend like I have evaluated all these quarterbacks. I've watched a bunch of their games, and I've watched all 22s, and I have opinions, but none as strong as that one. So why is Jaden Daniels so far separated from those top two for you? And are you putting other players – is he the third quarterback for you?
He might still – yeah, I think that he is still the third quarterback just because there's no one that I'm really in love with, and he does have good tools. But I think there's a lot that is not elite about his game. I'll say that. There's not a lot of glaring flaws, which is nice, and I think his floor is pretty high, and I think being athletic and being able to run makes your floor pretty high because at worst, your rushing game will probably get a huge boost. And there are so many times where he is just – there on like a read option and the end man on the line of scrimmage just stays accounting for him, and then the running back sneaks between that defensive end and the line of scrimmage, and Jaden Daniels opens up his own hole basically. So I like that about him. I think his floor is somewhat high, but when I watch him throw the football, I just am not sure what traits as a passer make him elite. And I think you still need a lot of that.
Right. So his deep ball accuracy, and I mean, I guess he won the Heisman, so we're not going to pretend like he's bad. And I don't want to put you in a bad situation where you're suggesting that he's going to be a bust. It seems pretty clear that you think that his floor is pretty high. He'll be good, but he doesn't for you seem like you mentioned, a backpack guy. And what is the issue with the deep ball accuracy? Because that's the thing that I saw when I watched him that I was impressed with. Am I just being kind of fooled by a couple of highlights, or
and Neighbors is it, and Brian Thomas,
or is it the fact that he has elite receivers?
The deep ball accuracy has always been very good with him, and that's going back to ASU. It actually was my class, ASU, getting there in 2019. So
forks up, right? That's what they say.
Yeah, forks up. But he had Ayuk, he had Ronald Darby, who were amazing deep threats at that time, and now he's got Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and I think that his deep ball accuracy is quite nice. But I always say on Twitter, deep ball accuracy is a bit of a wide receiver stat. If you've got a guy who can track it and make contested catches and do all these crazy things down the field, you can have a lot of wiggle room in terms of where you place that thing, because there's a lot of time for these wide receivers to run under it. And there's a lot of, you know, positioning to that has to be fought for. And a lot of it has to do with the wide receiver. And I think, I mean, you couldn't really ask for a better deep ball receiver duo than Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, were probably the two biggest athletic freaks in this draft. But it's still his best trait. It's definitely, I think, high end. I don't know if it's quite as good as like Stroud last year, his deep ball accuracy, but it's good.
I like deep ball accuracy as a wide receiver stat, just like sacks are quarterback stat. I'm stealing that. I'm using that from here on out. Hereby been commandeered by the Dominique Foxworth Show. Also, the issues with the issues that give you some pause. It's mostly about accuracy in the intermediate and short areas, or is it about decision making, pocket management? What is it?
It's kind of just the lack of the elite thing. Like, I just don't know what will set him apart. Like, I can look at all the top 10 quarterbacks. Stroud has accuracy, all levels of the field, all arm angles. It's crazy, right? Lamar, he is like Matthew Stafford as a passer. Obviously, he's got the legs, and I see a lot of comps, Jaden, to Lamar. But Lamar doesn't care about pressure. Like, it can be closing in. He'll stand there. He'll change his arm slot. He'll do whatever has to be done to get that ball off. I think he's more elastic. He's calmer in the pocket, and I think his arm talent is better than where Jaden is. Jaden is just receives, I think, fine marks in all of these areas, and his accuracy isn't like really notable in, you know, once you eliminate the deep ball accuracy, and that's a little bit concerning because he has these great deep ball catchers where and deep ball accuracy is a wide receiver stat in my opinion. So
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play, and boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I was going to say, let's go positive, though. Let's go with the other two quarterbacks that you do see as...
I'm just as fascinated by Drake May, for the record. Yeah,
as you do see as elite. What are the traits that those two quarterbacks have that stand out to you?
Caleb, I don't even know how to describe it. It's whatever Russell Wilson had, where he can just, like, run around. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if he has adrenaline or that doesn't, like, affect him. Yeah. I heard Ocho Cinco say something at one point, like, pressure bursts pipes. Mm-hmm. And Caleb, his pipes never burst. Like, it doesn't matter the situation. He can be booting out with his back turned to the defense, like, turn around. There's a guy right there in his face. And he'll just throw a 30-yard touchdown like there's no one there at all. And he just had to diagnose that in a single instant, and he's under crazy pressure. One thing I love about Caleb is... just on RPOs, there'll be a free runner running right at him. And some of the arm angles that he hits to get these RPOs to the flat, you can make a whole highlight reel of them, like 10 minutes long. I've seen him throw it underhand. I've seen him, like, hit hook shots. I've seen him, seriously, like, I've seen him jump and, like, twist his body and then throw it, like, over his head. It's like, crazy the stuff that he pulls off with pressure in his face. And he's... got that to him, and then he also, because he doesn't really care about the pressure, I think that also translates to when the pocket is constricting, or at least it can at the NFL level. Right now, everything is kind of wide open. He has the green light to run around, but it won't be like that at the NFL level. But because he does so well under pressure out of the pocket, I think he can do really well under pressure inside the pocket as well, if he's asked to do that. And then you think about the accuracy, which is all really high level with him, no matter the situation, the arm talent. I'm comfortable with the type of guy he is and his personality. I just like everything about Caleb Williams, really. I think that he might be Hollywood, like Jalen Johnson said, but I mean, I think a little bit of Hollywood, you want your superstars to have that in them. And
it doesn't bother me.
I don't really have too many questions with him.
So to be clear, the first person you ever heard say pressure bust pipes is Chad Ochocinco.
I love that. He said that.
I mean, it's a common idiom amongst us olds. I can't believe that you've never heard of him. We've been saying that since forever.
Look, you learn about yeet, and I learn about pressure bursts pipes. It's a fair trade-off.
Drake May, yeah, what is it? What's the...
Well, no, there's also the thing with Drake May that I think is fascinating, too, is that we're seeing, like... I don't know if you can remember this happening at other times. It seemed like a two-quarterback draft all year long. Drake May didn't really do anything wrong. He's gigantic. He's mobile. He has a big arm. And suddenly, whether it's a smokescreen or not, it appears he's dropping down draft boards. He might be behind Jaden Daniels on Washington's board. Some people think he could be behind J.J. McCarthy on other boards. And I don't totally know how. Yeah, exactly. That you to the podcast audience, Theo had the exact same reaction that I had, which is just like a solemn head shake to the idea of Drake May going behind J.J. McCarthy. How do you sort of reconcile with that? What is going on with the Drake May mystery?
I think part of it is he played at UNC, which is not really a football school, and I don't think many people watched him, whereas everybody watched J.J. McCarthy win a national championship and stuff like that. I just think a lot of people aren't super familiar with Drake May's game, but that can't be true of the analysts, right? So that I'm not really sure
on. Or the general managers. Yeah, it's...
I guess the thing about Daniels and McCarthy, maybe they're a little bit quicker with some of their stuff than May, with the footwork and maybe the release. I could see from an aesthetic perspective being a little bit more comfortable with just the way Jaden and especially JJ McCarthy, who I think has fantastic mechanics, throw, like, just the act of them throwing the football. And I think that that might be what it is, that there's just something that these GMs find perhaps a little clunky about May, which I don't really see, but I think that's what it is.
Is it his?
And then there's some of the accuracy concerns, but
his creativity is similar to Caleb Williams. Is that the like superpower that you see in him also?
Yeah, I definitely see some electric ability to make things happen outside of structure. I've seen him like stiff arm somebody with one hand and throw a touchdown with his left hand as a right-handed quarterback. That's pretty crazy. Guys draped all over him and he still is like accurate. He's got the arm to make those throws when the pocket is condensing, and he's fast too. Like I've seen him get to the edge when I thought he never would. I think he's got good vision as a runner. He works off blockers pretty well that are in front of him. He's a nice runner, and out of structure, like he's got the arm talent to hit all kinds of crazy things. A 40-yard bomb off his back foot versus Clemson. Like he's got everything that you want to me, and he's more of like a step up and bomb it type of quarterback than like Jaden is. Like he's not afraid to just kind of slide around the pocket instead of just overtly scrambling, like and step up and throw. And he to me checks all the boxes. I can maybe see what people are saying about like some sloppy mechanics or slower mechanics, but I just think like, man, there's a lot of good with him, and he was getting it done with an offensive line that wasn't nearly on the level of Jaden's or Penix's or JJ McCarthy's, right, who have first round picks across them, and wide receiving core, like he had Josh Downs, but then he lost him, and he had Tez Walker, who he was throwing to, right? Or no, am I Devontae's? I can't remember his name, but I remember him going to the Senior Bowl and looking like really struggling there amongst his peers, and that was Drake May's like wide receiver one. So I think when you look at their offense in general and like what he was working with and his skill set, he's clearly number two. And to me, that's like some people like to say 1A, 1B. I think it's 1 and 2, but he's in that tier with Caleb. I think like he could be a great guy.
1A, 1B is the same thing as 1 and 2. But
1 and 2. I've always shied away from, I think, the 1A, 1B. It's like one and two, but they're in the same.
Before I let you go and go listen to Swerved It, Breathe, Money So Big, Flawless, all of my great Yeet classics. I got a hot take that I want to throw your direction. I'm going to test this out with you. Marvin Harrison is so damn good and so potentially impactful as a player, I believe, that he could have the impact on a team that a number one quarterback could have. I think back to occasionally when special players come into the league, their impact is such that it makes everything around them better. We always talk about winning a Super Bowl is easier when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. I think that's true, but I also think it's pretty easy when you have a future Hall of Famer on a rookie deal and someone, a future Hall of Famer at a very important position. I think back to Von Miller. I think back to J.J. Watt. Randy Moss, and I know all these guys didn't win Super Bowls, but you dropped them on the team and the recipe changed in a way that can only be accounted for in our history normally with quarterbacks. But sometimes there are players that are so special. And when I see Marvin Harrison have the real complete package, we say that certain players are complete packages, but most of the time they kind of major in one thing, and Marvin does too. But the precision with which he runs his routes while being 6'5 and blazing fast and have quickness. I mean, maybe he could be a little bit better with the ball in his hand after the catch, but for who, for what? Like, I watch him play and generally take over games. You think back against high-level competition like Georgia until he got knocked out of that game. He was owning that game. And I think that we are fooling ourselves. And you're not fooling yourself because you have two quarterbacks and then everyone else you slide down to third round. I think there's going to be a team that decides, I guess it's not because Arizona's there, but if Arizona decides to trade out, that'd be a huge mistake to me. Marvin Harrison, in my view, I believe, can be dropped on a team and have an impact close to what you get for having a quality quarterback on a rookie deal.
I completely agree. Some guys are just a power grid and the electricity just flows to everybody around them and it makes it all go. And I think that there are a couple guys, honestly, in this class that I think are super special. And I don't say it lightly, like gold jacket potential. Yeah. Like this is what they look like. And Marv is the best of them. I mean, he got it done with Kyle McCord. There's just absolutely no weakness that you can poke in his game. Stroud left, it didn't matter. He still balls out. And Neighbors is fantastic as well, and I love Rome Odunze. But Marvin is the biggest prize, like the most surefire thing. And I just can't imagine taking a quarterback who might be fine, but not profile as maybe a top 10 guy over a quarterback who could be giving a speech in Canton someday. I can't think of any world where that isn't a mistake. And I think that what I see on film, like that would very possibly be what you're doing if you pass on Marv for one of the other quarterbacks if you're the Patriots, assuming that May goes too, which is maybe not a safe assumption.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if May's still around for the Patriots, I could understand it. But if it's anybody else, get Marv. And definitely if the Cardinals, like I understand they have lots of other holes, get that man. Get him and figure everything else out. Throw him short passes.
Yeah, they have a second round. They have a second first round pick anyway. Yeah, like, get him and then there'll be plenty of other opportunities. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, especially if they trade with the Vikings at like number 11. If you trade like to the Giants at 6, it's like, okay, maybe you can get a Odunze or Neighbors, but don't go like back. All the way back. I don't see it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to a mock draft where you do comps for Yeet songs for every player that is in the draft. Which songs should I start with? So I'm being serious. I'm listening to the song as soon as we get off this. Where do I start?
I think you start at the beginning of the album. I think that he has two songs with
no skips.
With CEO in the name. I think it's fair to say there's not a lot of skips. Well, I don't have every track in my head, but the first like five or so I think are pretty damn good.
All right, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Theo Ash NFL on Twitter and TikTok as long as it exists. And then, of course, the Stay Hot podcast with my buddies Matt and Bladen, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Theo, we'll do this again sometime. We'll come back around the draft, and then we'll come back in 5 years and see how much egg Jaden Daniels has put on your face.
We'll see. We'll see. It's happened before.
So. I've been there. I'm sorry again, Josh Allen. All right, we're out.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.